Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
We are already in the third week of our first series for the fall season. It's fall, by the way. Welcome to fall. And our series is all about enough. We talked about this idea of enough and how it's a question that haunts us. We wonder if we have enough, get enough, do enough, are enough. Success in life requires investment in so many different areas of life. Family, finances, fitness, faith, friends, work, school. To do enough in all of these different areas can seem like an impossible task, and yet a necessary one if we're going to judge our lives successful. And while we worry about enough, enough isn't even the right goal. All of these different areas are important to invest our time and energy and resources, but enough is not our goal in life. Think about it. Doing barely enough to get by at work, at school, with your family, with your friends, that's no measure of success. That would be judged a failure. While we're haunted by the goal of having enough, enough isn't even the right goal. If we focus our lives only on enough, we might be missing out on the real purpose of our life. Our goal, as Christ followers, is obviously to follow the Lord. To follow the Lord means to go where he goes. And in today's gospel, he tells his friends and followers very clearly, he's going to the cross. And while that sounds difficult and challenging, and sometimes it is, it's better than the alternative in which we worry about making life work out for us all alone and on our own. It's better than the constant feeling of knowing that we don't have enough. When we focus only on enough, make our lives all about us, following our own will and our own way, it's a frustrating exercise. Following the Lord to the cross, it's a much more challenging exercise, but it's also a much more successful one, because the cross is always more than enough. Today, we're building on the last 2 weeks, and we're going to look at a specific way, one way, in which we follow the Lord. Now, when I was a little child, our family lived out in the country on the edge of my grandfather's farm. There were no neighbors nearby. The closest house to our house was a bit of a hike down the road where two little girls lived who were only occasionally our playmates. There weren't a lot of other kids around at all. Eventually, we moved to a new house in a suburban community with lots of neighbors and lots of kids. In fact, there was a little boy my age just next door, and he became my friend, my best friend, which was a completely new sensation for me, a whole new experience. But I was secretly jealous of that little boy because of something else that was a completely new experience for me. He had a brother. I had never met anybody who had a brother. The possibility had never even occurred to me. I didn't even know what I thought about it, but as I thought about it, I formed the conviction that that's what I needed to. And so I did what I always did when I needed something. I asked my mother for it. She humored me with my request, probably thinking that it was a childish whim, which it wasn't, and that it would pass, which it didn't. I continued to make my request with annoying frequency. Finally, she sat me down one day and explained that it was no good talking to her about a brother because she couldn't give me a brother. Only God can give anyone a brother. Great, I thought. I've been wasting all my time talking to the wrong person. So that day, I began what became the longest sustained prayer campaign of my life. My morning prayer, my mealtime prayer, my schooltime prayer, my bedtime prayer were not prayers about any of those things. They were always and only and all about asking for a brother. And this went on for years, year after year, and I never told my mother about it, not a single word. I just kept asking. And one day, I got a brother, much to the astonishment of my parents. What happens when we need something, or we want something, or we want something that we think we need? What happens when we don't have enough? And we can all agree that enough is not the goal, but there are some times in our lives when we realize that we don't have something, that we want something, that we have need, something or many things are lacking. You might be lacking money right now because you're stretched when it comes to your monthly budget. It's kind of uncomfortable. Maybe you feel like you don't have enough when it comes to wisdom. You have teenagers at home and you feel inadequate in trying to parent them. Or you are a teenager and you don't have enough patience to put up with your parents. Maybe it's a question of time. You just don't have enough time to run your kids everywhere they need to go and keep up with their sports programs and get the homework done and figure out what's for dinner tonight. Or maybe it's a question of energy. You don't have any. You're simply sleep deprived and exhausted all the time. When we find ourselves in any of these situations, our goal is still to follow the Lord because that's always our goal. But to follow in these circumstances might mean something specific, something very specific. There's something you can do that is absolutely crucial and critical to the spiritual life. And no matter how old you are or how much you grow as a Christ follower, this habit, this discipline will always be a part of the equation. And a warning as we dip into it. This habit seems so simple that you'll be tempted to dismiss it out of hand. I invite you to reconsider instead. This simple habit can be found among many places in the Bible, in the book of James. James was a relative of Jesus. He was either a cousin or he could have been a stepbrother, one of Joseph's sons from a previous marriage. Anyway, he was very close to the Lord during his lifetime, and his book reflects the wisdom of the Lord. It also offers some of the most practical advice in the whole Bible when it comes to growing spiritually. In the little section we're looking at today, James is addressing some infighting among Christians, and he asks this question: where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? So he's using military terms to describe disagreements and dissension that often happen in families, in workplaces, in communities of any kind, even churches. Why do co-workers fight with one another at work? Why do siblings fight with one another at home? Why do classmates fight with one another in school? And he answers his own question with another question. Is it not from your passions that you make war with your members? You covet, but you do not possess. So we want what we want when we want it. We're all like that sometimes. And whenever something or someone gets in the way of what we want, it leads to conflict. When Scripture uses that word covet, it holds a deeply negative connotation, suggesting not only do I want something that I don't have, I want something that you have that I don't want you to have. So it's a very dark kind of reaction, which in turn escalates conflict. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. So he's using hyperbole here. He's saying we kill relationships when we allow our disordered passions and our selfishness to drive our behavior. When we don't have enough of something, our temptation is to look at the people around us and blame them. Covet what they have. We think that if we just had their resources or their money or their opportunities or their house, then we would be happy and our lives would be so much better. But James says even that is not the real problem. As long as we allow ourselves to focus on others, we're missing out on something we can do for ourselves. And this is the heart of the whole message. So drum roll, please. He says, you do not possess because you don't ask. You don't ask. It turns out you gotta ask. It's that simple. When you find that you don't have enough of something, you ask for it. Ask God to provide what you need. This is such a simple concept, and it's so very obvious, and it's something I know I find myself failing to do all the time, every single day. I confront some consideration, some concern, some need. I worry about it, for sure. I stress out about it. I blame others. I covet what they have and I don't have. I get angry. I get annoyed. I get grumpy. And through the whole process, it never occurs to me to slow down, to stop, and to talk to God about it instead. And when I act like that, I'm acting like a practical atheist, as if God doesn't exist, or at least doesn't care and isn't there. Certainly we should strategize to figure out how to best meet our needs, but our strategy, our planning will be so much more effective if we strategize in prayer, asking God to lead us. Ask, simple as can be. But there's a little more nuance to it in James' presentation. Sometimes just asking doesn't always affect what we're after. We know that. We've had the experience of prayers that went unanswered or seem to have gone unanswered. Why? Why is that? James tells us. You ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Selfish or wholly self-centered prayer, silly prayer, those are not prayers that are answered. Another way to translate that word spend is to squander. James says that sometimes we don't receive an answer because we're just going to squander what is given to us. He tells us that when we ask God for help, we need to ask for the right motivation. And for those of you who are parents or if you have employees, you know that how your kids, how your employees ask for something makes a huge difference. Makes all the difference in the world. If in your judgment you believe that their motives are pure and that what they're asking for is good and a good thing for them, you actually want to give it to them. Well, James says, when you ask, make sure it's like that. Make sure you're asking for the right motivation. So there's motivation, and then there's right attitude. What's that? He says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. When you ask God for help, go to God with humility. Bring God a humble spirit, not a demanding one. Ask God, believing that he will supply your needs and wants in his time, in his way, not yours. Ask God knowing that he will answer your prayer in a way that will serve your long-term interest, even if it doesn't seem so in the short term. Many of you know my associate, Tom. He has a daughter, Elsa, who is also my goddaughter. And a little while back, Elsa decided that she wanted a pet. She wanted a cat. But her father resisted for good and practical reasons. First of all, if you've got seven kids, the last thing you need is a pet. But she held on to that desire. And she picked a moment, a strategic moment, when nobody else was around. She asked to speak to her father in a kind of formal way, and she laid out her case, point by point. The cat would be good for the spirit of the whole household. Her younger siblings would especially enjoy it. She would take full responsibility for it, and at this point, she's old enough to do it. She would take care of feeding and care for the cat. She laid out her whole argument, and then she ended sweetly. Please, Daddy, a please, Daddy, that would melt any father's heart. Well, anyway, bottom line, Elsa got her cat. She's just doing what James is advising us to do. Ask with the right motivation at the right time, in the right way, with the right spirit, and ask with sweetness. Ask with humility. Those are the kinds of prayers that the Lord loves. And I would add two more suggestions that are not found here, but can be found elsewhere in the Bible. Ask specifically. People often make the mistake of believing that vague prayers are somehow more mature prayers or spiritually sophisticated. And people will just pray, God's will be done. And that's a fine prayer to pray. Jesus told us to pray that prayer too. But the problem with only praying vague prayers is that you don't know when God has answered them. The more specific you can be with your request, the more clearly you'll be able to see God's hand in meeting them. I learned this powerfully in the course of our building program for this new church last year. Our leadership team prayed specific prayers at each stage of the building process, and it was really exciting, fun, in fact, to watch as God answers those specific prayers. Ask specifically, and ask persistently. Don't just ask once and then give up. Jesus teaches over and over again that God honors persistent asking. Asking once is often not enough. Why is that? Well, sometimes it is God increasing, growing desire in us for what we're asking for. Sometimes it's because we're asking for the wrong things, and God is taking time to change our thinking, to change our hearts. Sometimes it's just God waiting for the right timing when it refers to other things that are connected to this thing. Whatever your situation, ask specifically and ask persistently. So here's a challenge for the week ahead. Beginning tomorrow morning in your prayer time or your quiet time or any time that you have time, identify an area of your life, just one, where you don't have enough. Maybe you don't have enough money, or you don't have enough time. Maybe you don't have enough emotional support from the people around you, or courage to face whatever it is you have to face right now. Just one thing. And then ask God specifically for that thing, for what you need. Better friends, a better schedule, cash. Sometimes the more clearly you envision what you need, the more powerful your prayer. Then keep on asking. Keep on asking until God answers that prayer or leads you in a different direction. Asking God for help is a fundamental and critical part of the Christian life. And you know what? It never goes away. It never goes away because we don't have enough. We really don't. And we never will. We'll never have enough without God's grace.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.